This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Joining me on the line is our next guest, Josie Shapiro. Josie's debut novel, Everything is Beautiful and Everything Hurts, won the inaugural Allen and Unwin Fiction Prize. And her second novel, Good Things Come and Go, was published in 2025 and named one of the best books of the year by the New Zealand Listener. Josie's appearing with fellow panellists Megan Nicol-Reed and Rachel Paris on the Fiction Three Ways panel tonight as part of Hamilton Book Month. And she joins us now on the Free Breakfast. No, my hi to my Josie.
Morning, Kate. Thanks for having me on today.
Oh, an absolute pleasure. Congratulations and gosh on the success of your work so far, Josie.
Thank you so much. It's been a real thrill and a pleasure to write these books and have so many people read them. It's just, it really is such an honour.
Look, it just seems to me like, I wonder if you could take us back to how you got underway, because it feels like you've established yourself so solidly and so quickly, but has it been building slowly, or has it been a series or more of a series of big steps?
I think it's one of those things, is, you know, that it feels like an overnight success that took your whole life to get there, right? I had always wanted to be a novelist, to tell stories and to write, and I did that a lot growing up as a kid and into my early 20s. I sort of lost my way a little bit because I lost my nerve and wasn't sure I had the talent to write a novel to the standard that I really wanted to, you know, something that I felt was worth putting out in the world. So I stopped writing for a while. Then when I had two children, and when my second was just a baby, I thought, what I really want to do is be the type of parent who shows their children that you go after your dreams, even if you're not successful, just for the challenge and for the journey that it takes you on personally, rather than the publication, possibly. So I wrote the first book. I did a master's at Auckland University to sort of give myself a bit of motivation, external motivation. And that was when I really thought, okay, I could make this work. But I'd never expected I don't think I actually expected to be published, because it's incredibly difficult to be published. There's not a lot of opportunity. So I've been really lucky in many ways.
Gosh, and you waited until a time in your life, I guess, to revisit this compulsion or this desire at a time in your life when you're really busy with a little family and you did postgrad study. So
it was crazy.
It sounds crazy, but it also sounds like that was probably both the motivation and the validation, I guess, you needed for developing that sense of confidence in your craft.
Yeah, I really needed to. The things that I learned doing the master's, I don't think that it's the sort of thing that for creative writing you have to do that postgraduate study, but really what I learned in that year would have taken me 5 years, I think, on my own to sort of learn through, you know, trial and error. So it really was incredibly, it helped me move forward in my writing skill quite a lot from that sort of dedicated time. Having the kids at home so young, I think they were like 3 and 1.5 at the time that I did the master's. So it really was a lot of hard work because I wasn't getting a lot of sleep. And then once I'd finished the master's, about a year after that was when I started writing my first novel, Everything is Beautiful and Everything Hurts.
Oh, that sounds incredible. And I guess too, the stepping out of daily life and actually going off and doing a class and sort of stepping away from that was probably really crucial to that whole process, wasn't it? To just sometimes you've just got to walk away and go and take that little bit of time to focus on something for yourself.
And that's another part of how I've written both of my books, or especially the second, has been really helped through writing residencies. Good Things Come and Go was written at the Michael King Writers Centre on Takaranga in Devonport, and also I was a Sargeston Fellow in 2024, and a lot of the book was written there. It's like you said, stepping out of real life and having that emotional and mental space to write. So the new book was written sort of outside family life as well, which I was really lucky to benefit from those two residencies.
I want to get on to the new book shortly, but I think, you know, so the impact of, I guess, winning, you know, Everything is Beautiful and Everything Hurts, which was that your debut novel, the fiction prize, the Allen and Unwin Fiction Prize, what was the impact of winning that for you as a first, you know, as your first piece of work?
It was life-changing, really. You know, just an absolute burst out of being an unpublished writer who, you know, a lot of the themes in the book are about working hard towards dreams that you're not quite sure you're ever going to pay off with success. It's just about, you know, sort of doing them for yourself. So to, I'm writing this book as a journey into, and an idea to myself to keep going, not worry about what's going to happen later, just to enjoy the moment. And then to win this big award that put a lot of spotlight on my novel, which I was lucky. You know, there was a lot of interest from the media and from the readers. It was just really, I keep coming back to that word, life-changing. It really was to win that fiction prize.
Well, it obviously connected with readers. It sold very well across, you know, all the different formats, and obviously really connected with readers. And then you went, as you said, you went on to writing your second novel, Good Things Come and Go. So that was using some of those residencies to give you, I guess, space and focus. How did you find that, I guess, writing that second novel after that first success? Did you just crack on, or was there a revisiting of ideas here? How did that go?
I was really grateful that I started writing the second book before the first book came out. So I was quite a way into it before the first book was in bookstores.
Oh, that's cool.
But once it was in stores, and so many people, a lot more people, the book and read the book and contacted me to tell me how they felt about the book than I ever expected. It was just a real, I was pleasantly surprised. I won't say shocked. I was pleasantly surprised by how many people, like you said, felt moved by that book and really were touched by it, which is just, you know, incredible to me.
It's so good.
But then I did start to feel a little bit of pressure for the second book. You think, oh, how do I live up to these expectations? But really all you can do when you create any type of art is to try and stay as true to yourself and to the story as possible, and work hard to feel proud of it. And I do feel proud of what I've managed to do with the second book.
Oh, gosh, yes. And I think too, you know, that sounds great that you were well underway with it, and then once you're in it, you're just in it, aren't you? It's very cool. Your books seem to cross over a little bit into the young adult market. Was that something deliberate, and does the fact that, I guess, younger readers could read them affect how you write about issues, or is it just something that fits naturally into the work?
I think the first book in particular works for young adult market, sort of like 15 plus, because of the coming of age story. I know that I've heard from a few schools that have been teaching the first novel, and that there are students who have said to them that it's one of their favourite books now. And I think that because the character is growing up through those sort of teenage years, and that's where a lot of the drama of the backstory happens is while she's growing up. I think that's why it really appeals to the young adults, and why it's good for school teaching. It's been a surprise that book really has a wide range of readers, sort of from the, you know, sort of 14, 15, through to, I've heard from sort of men in their 70s who have written to me about how much they've enjoyed it. So it's been really interesting to me that it seems to appeal to so many different people. I haven't heard of the second novel being as interested for the younger readers, but I think that they definitely should, because there is teenage material about the two boys, especially when they're skateboarding. I think that I hope that that's interesting to lots of readers too.
Oh yeah, and also too, everybody's been a teenager, so those older readers, you know, are going to come in because they can relate back to that. I think it's wonderful that people get in touch with you and let you know how the effects of the book are, and also great that it's got in schools. You know, I think as a former English teacher, you're always looking for a book that's going to connect with your students, that is something fresh, often to teach alongside the classics. So that's wonderful.
It is really nice to think to read it in school.
Yeah. And you've talked about some of those residencies, the Michael King Residency and the Sargeson. I think you've been the recipient of the latest Michael King Residency over winter. Is that right? And you've been working on maybe a third book. Can you tell us a little glimpse about that?
Yes, I have. I was really lucky to have another 2 weeks at Michael King Writers' Centre in June. And I was working on a third novel. I spent a bit of time and then working on two novels, which was quite fun, actually, to bounce between the two. One was a manuscript that I'd written previously to my first book being published, and I was just sort of keep tinkering with. And it's sort of got parallel universes, but it's not really science fiction. It's sort of more character-driven, but it's a lot of fun, but I haven't quite figured out how to make it work. And then I started on a new work, which is about two sisters. It's set in a sort of near future I'm at crisis, and it's, you know, about family and loyalty and all the things that come along with together as a family in a disaster type situation.
Oh, all those good themes. I love that challenge. And we're looking forward to seeing that when it comes out. And I know as part, you're on the panel tonight, so we've got the Fiction Three Ways panel. It's tonight at Waikato Museum at 6:30. You're there with Megan Nicol-Reed and Rachel Paris, and that's being chaired by Tina Shaw. People need to know that that is another one of those wonderful free events that Hamilton Book Month managed to wrangle. Authors are going to have their books available. You don't have to register. You can just turn up at the museum. So we want people to get into that. But also some lucky people are going to be attending your Clause and Effect workshop, very clever title, on Saturday. So for the people that have been lucky enough to get a spot on that, can you just give us a bit of a hint about what they're going to be doing tomorrow?
Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to both events. Hamilton Book Month have put on an incredible schedule of lots of free events and the workshops each weekend. My workshop on the Cause and Effect, it's going to be about sentences, about how sentences work, how they can be built together in different ways to create different effects, and how to create narrative drive through the simple short or long sentences. It's going to be a lot of exercises and a lot of play, and I'm really excited to work with the group that's coming along tomorrow.
Oh, well, people are so lucky that they are going to get that chance. It is a cautionary tale, people. You need to book in early if you want to go to these workshops because they're incredible. Josie, I hope that tonight goes really well. Congratulations again on the success of your first two books, and we're really looking forward to seeing the third one when it comes. And have fun tonight at the panel.
I will. Thank you so much, Kate. I look forward to seeing everyone in Hamilton this evening.
Thank you. That's Josie Shapiro there, writer, and just going great guns with her work.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.